Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Peter adds his one-anothering text to those that are found elsewhere in the New Testament, the majority of them by Paul, but a good number of them by John, and now this one by Peter in 1 Peter 1:22, that tells us that Christians are to love one another. And Peter tells us that we are enabled to love by God and His divine power, and therefore we are to exercise that enablement in the lives of others. Here's how he puts it in verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. The first part of the text deals with our enablement, our enabling to love, and the second part with the requirement that we do love. As far as the enablement is concerned, it starts with divine intervention, the work of God in our souls that brings us to purify our souls, which we do by believing in Jesus Christ. And of course, we don't purify them. God purifies them. But by the exercise of our faith, we obtain the promise of cleansing and the purifying of our souls, which God promises to those who trust in Jesus Christ. But of course, it takes a divine work to purify our souls. I can't purify my soul, can you? You can't purify your soul, I'm certain of that. But God does when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, God purifies our souls when we believe in Jesus, and then continues to work in our lives so that we can exercise divine love toward others. And we'll continue looking at this on this Tuesday, June 25, as we teach God's Word on this station, enabled by the financial gifts of our radio listeners. So there's this inward transformation, something that changes the inner man. Salvation, we are told in this text, purifies our souls. That changes the very core of who we are. Salvation, I repeat, purifies our souls, our sin-saturated souls, inherited by our first birth, traced all the way back to Adam's fall in the garden. These sinful souls, these rebellious souls, these alienated souls, alienated from God, are purified. Salvation purifies them. And it continues to purify us. It continues to change our inner being as long as we are in this world. That's, in essence, what it means to be growing in Christlikeness. We are being, Paul tells us in Romans 8:29, transformed into the image of God's Son. We are being made ever more like Jesus Christ. That is, as he was in his perfect humanity. We're being restored to what we were before Adam fell. Adam was created perfect in the garden. Before he sinned, Adam was a representative of perfect humanity. After he sinned, he was no longer perfect, far from it, and never was anyone else perfect. All the millions and billions of people have been born into this world, all fallen sons and daughters of Adam, nobody sinless, nobody perfect, nobody with a pure soul until Jesus Christ stepped into this world, stepped into a human body, became a perfect man, showed us what a perfect man is like, died on the cross to become the substitute of sinners who trust in him, who deserve to die as he died and will not die if we trust in Jesus, but if we don't, we will die. We are dead spiritually, separated from God, and we will die eternally when that pronouncement of our eternal condemnation is made at the judgment bar of God. Separated from God forever. But totally unnecessary. Jesus died on the cross that those who trust in him need never die. Those who trust in him have their souls purified, and that's what Peter talks about. Since you have purified your souls, something that changes the very core of our being, that changes the inner man, that purifies our souls. That's what salvation does. And it is done by divine communication. Something impacts us through God's word. Because Peter says that our souls are purified, listen to this now, in obeying the truth. Did you catch that? Again, 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Now, obeying the truth means to obey God's word, for Jesus said it very plainly in John 17:17 in his high priestly prayer. Sanctify them, he said, he prayed to the Father, praying for his own. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify means to purify. So no wonder Peter says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. And what does it mean to obey the truth? Well, it first means to believe the gospel. The Bible characterizes our faith in the gospel as a matter of obedience. We don't generally think of faith as obedience. We tend to separate faith into a different category. In fact, because the Bible makes it clear that we're saved by grace, not by works, but we are saved through faith, but not by works, we therefore tend to put faith in a different category. But there are several statements in the Bible that indicate that faith is an act of obedience to the gospel. The gospel is proclaimed, and it makes claims upon us, and it commands us to do something. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn from your sins. That's something that we must do. It's not done for us. The enablement to do it must come from God, but the repentance must come from us. It is the response of our believing heart. We repent of our sins. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe the gospel. That is an obedient response to the gospel. And so faith is obedience to the gospel, the acknowledgement of our sin and our need of Christ, the casting of ourselves upon the merits and mercy of Christ alone. That's an act of obedience. To refuse to do that is disobedience. Nobody would doubt that. If you're having a little trouble struggling with what I'm saying here, just turn it around the other way. To hear the gospel and the call that God calls upon all men everywhere to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ, and you refuse to do that, what is that but an act of disobedience? Of the most serious kind. That may be the most serious disobedience of all. To refuse to obey the summons of the gospel that says, come to God through Christ. This is a command. This is a summons. You must come. You must come through the avenue of repentance and faith. That's how you come to God through Christ, who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way we come to God is through Jesus Christ. The way we come through Jesus Christ is by repentance and faith, believing the gospel, to refuse to do it is an act of sinful disobedience of the highest nature. So to obey the gospel would have to be characterized as an act of obedience. So faith is obedient to the gospel, and faith continues to obey the truth. Again, we're talking about, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Our souls are purified in believing the gospel. That's how we are cleansed. That's how we are purified, in believing the gospel, which is characterized here in the phrase obeying the truth. So we obey by doing what it commands us to do. Repent and believe. And we do that. We have obeyed that command as it came to us. We have obeyed the truth of the gospel. And in that exercise of our faith, in that act of repentance and faith, we are purified. We are cleansed. But faith not only is obedience to the gospel, but faith continues to obey the truth. Remember what Peter said just a few verses before. In verse 14, he said, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." As obedient children. So faith continues to obey the truth. To obey is to place ourselves under the truth, to hear it, to submit to it, to apply it. To place ourselves under the truth, that is to say that we acknowledge that God's word is true, it is right, I believe it, I acknowledge it to be true, I do not deny it, I do not object to it, I do not argue against it, I do not state that it is false, that it is untrue in any regard. I place myself under the weight of truth, under the umbrella of truth, under the authority of truth. I submit to it. I place myself under it. I believe it. Which is something more than simply to know what it says. Remember what Jesus said? "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" You hear what I say? You even call me your Lord? Some did. That's what he's talking about. Some who followed him, listened to him, called themselves his disciples. You call me your Lord and Master, but you don't do the things that I say. You are not obeying the truth. And therefore, you are not made pure by obeying the truth, because the only way to be made pure is by obeying the truth. So, we purify our souls by obeying the Word of God. And it is this Word of God, this powerful Word of God, this divine communication, which purifies our souls and enables us to love. That's what we're talking about, the requirement to love one another. How are we enabled to do that? By the operation of the truth of God's Word in connection with the operation of God's Holy Spirit in our souls. And that enables us to obey the Word of God, including the commands to love one another. Wonderful truth. We'll pursue it again tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.